Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. There are many programs all over the United States focused on revitalizing Native languages. But what does it really take to learn an indigenous language? Is speaking and hearing the language enough? Are you worried the most basic tools of communication your ancestors used will disappear? What challenges do communities and individuals face when they want to pick up and utilize their indigenous language? That's next, right after the news. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. U.S. South Dakota Senator John Thune says he's backing an effort to repeal part of the Affordable Care Act. The move fulfills a promise made by many Republicans to see it removed, but President Obama is expected to veto any repeal effort. Some worry repealing the act would hurt Native Americans. They say many in places like South Dakota still lack adequate health care coverage because the state has refused to expand Medicaid. Charles Michael Ray has more.
South Dakota's U.S. Senator John Thune says the Affordable Care Act has failed. He supports repealing a number of provisions within the act.
The law was sold as a health care solution, but it's turned out to be yet another health care problem. And I've heard from countless South Dakotans over the last 5.5 years about the damage that's been caused by this fundamentally flawed law.
Thune says the repeal making its way through the Senate would not impact efforts to improve funding for the Indian Health Service. But others say the Affordable Care Act is crucial for Indian country. Geraldine Church is the CEO for the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board. She says throwing out the Affordable Care Act now does more harm than good.
You know, is there room for improvement? Certainly. But I think those are issues that can be worked through and addressed. You know, I trust that the lawmakers can come together to identify the areas that need improvement, but still really utilize the ACA for the betterment of everyone's health.
The bill before the Senate phases out the expansion of Medicaid taken on by some states under the ACA. Senator Thune says expanded Medicaid would be replaced with a different program, giving states more flexibility. But Geraldine Church says expanding Medicaid in states like South Dakota helps Native people meet health care needs. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Arizona Republicans, including the governor, are welcoming the recent party switch by State Senator Carlisle Begay. The former Democrat represents much of the Navajo Nation and says his beliefs more closely resemble those of the GOP. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports.
In a recent web video announcement of his decision, Begay said families in rural and tribal communities are in crisis. He cited the Navajo Nation's high unemployment and suicide rates, and many homes that go without clean water and electricity. Begay said his new party's focus on self-reliance influenced his decision.
Today, the Republican Party is finding solutions to build a positive future for the people I represent. In the past 2 years, it has been the Republican Party that has worked side by side with me to improve education, jobs, and infrastructure.
Begay did acknowledge his change of party might not be popular with some people. However, Alexis Tamaron, the chair of the Arizona Democratic Party, was not surprised by his decision. Many Democrats have also questioned his loyalty since he took office in 2013. Begay was the sole Democrat to vote for this year's state budget. Republicans now have an 18-12 majority in the Senate and control the state house. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
The trial of one of three young people accused of the beating deaths of two homeless men began Wednesday in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Alex Rios, age 20, and two others who are teenagers were charged with murder after the attack more than a year ago. Police say the victims, Allison Gorman and Key Thompson, both Navajo, were beaten to death as they slept in a vacant lot in the city. The Albuquerque Native American community, the Navajo Nation, and city officials have been working together to address homelessness. The mayor created a Native American task force to help. Meanwhile, the trial for Rios, who faces a number of charges, is expected to continue through next week. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Indigenous languages are at risk, and some languages are completely fading out. Young Lakota, Cherokee, and Chickasaw children are moving further from the language of their ancestors. Languages that have endured centuries and survived deliberate attempts at eradication. Advocates feel the biggest threat now is the dominance of English on TV, social media, in classrooms, and everyday conversation. But it's not all doom and gloom. Tribes are nurturing their languages back to life with immersion programs for both children and adults. But it takes dedication and resources. Are your kids speaking your native language in the classroom? What about at home? Are items around your house labeled with words in your language? Today, we want to talk about the many ways we are learning and sharing our indigenous languages. Our phone lines are open for you to also join this conversation. You can call us at 1-800-996-2848 or 1-800-99-NATIVE. And let's go ahead and bring in our guest today. Joining us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, is Tipizewi Tolman, and she is the lead Lakota language activities instructor in the preschool room at the Lakota Language Nest, located in Fort Yates, North Dakota. And she is Wichaan Dakota and Hunkpapa Lakota. And Tipizewi, please feel free to further introduce yourself.
Pilamayae, Chantewashte Yuhanana Pechuzapi, Tipizewi Tolman and Machiapena. Ia waslaha e matahana, wichina da kota na hunkpapa la kota hemacha. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to talk. It's our fourth year at the Lakota Language Nest, and I'm just really thankful for the opportunity to share the different things that our program and our children and our families have accomplished. So thank you.
Thank you, Tipizewi. And also with us from Fife, Washington, is Amber Hayward, and she is the language program director for the Puyallup Tribe of Indians, and she is Puyallup and Confederated Salish and Kootenai. Welcome to the hour, Amber, and also please feel free to further introduce yourself.
Amber Steerud Hayward feeds the Puyallup Ched to all Ched Tacoma, Washington. O Yais Ched to all T Puyallup Jal to Quetch Swaku Salt. O Gwatshi Ched T E Shida to Twashokin. As Joe Il Chesla T do Kod Hobi to Boosit all T Slachil. Good day to you all. I'm very grateful for this day. My name is Amber Hayward, and I'm from the Puyallup Tribe of Indians in Tacoma, Washington. I work for the Puyallup Tribes in the Puyallup Tribal Language Program, and we teach Toshutsi to our community members. I'm very joyful today to speak to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber. And ladies, I think it's really encouraging to be able to start a program this way, especially when we're talking about language, to hear both of you speak with such confidence. And I think that's what many people want for our communities, is to be able to have this language in our hearts, in our minds, and coming off of our tongue. And so, Tipizewi, is there anything you'd like to share about why we really do need to focus and make sure people are learning the language? Go ahead, Tipizewi.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. For me personally, learning the language of the relatives before me and has been an amazing journey and has helped in numerous aspects of my personal life and just opening doors and realizing that I'm no longer an outsider in my community events. And even though I'm born and raised at Standing Rock, without, you know, understanding of the language, I still felt like an outsider in my own home. And I think that the majority of our people feel that way. And that's hard on a person to say that I'm Lakota, but I don't speak Lakota and I don't understand Lakota. And I was raised in Lakota country, but I'm an outsider basically when it comes to speaking or understanding or being in community spaces where the language is the primary medium. And I just think that it's so important for our children especially to have that connection, and really it helps with so many aspects of health in one's life, but especially the identity, to be able to really communicate and understand yourself as a Lakota, because you can communicate with Creator and you can communicate with your elders, and it's just so gratifying for children to be able to conduct themselves. I mean, a lot of our protocols and conducts come naturally when children have the language, and it's just really amazing what language can do for an individual, but also for a family. And hopefully the end goal is that all of our communities can have access to this nourishment that our language is bringing to the people who have chosen to undertake the relearning and the maintenance of our languages.
Thanks, Tipiziwi. And folks, you know, what about that belonging? Is language another aspect of feeling like you belong to a community? Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And what do you think knowing the language or either learning the language does for people? What about for families? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Is our number, and you can also tweet us your responses too. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Amber, do you think that we need to have those kind of conversations too, to make people really realize, you know, what the language does for us as individuals and as a community? What do you think, Amber?
Absolutely. In our community currently right now, we don't have a lot of language speakers, and so the job of revitalizing that and sharing the importance of language revitalization in our community is a huge deal. And at this moment, we're trying to incorporate all people in our community. That also includes non-Native Americans who perhaps teach at our tribal schools or perhaps work in our tribal daycare. So for us, the importance that these people understand, oh, if I learn the Lushootseed language and I speak it to these tribal children, that benefits their lives. So that's where we're kind of at right now. And it's so important for people to grasp that concept who might not have understood that before. So currently we've been out at our tribal school for the last school year and this current school year. I'm really trying to emphasize that point of how important speaking our tribal language to the children is and how it benefits them. And children that maybe have been identified as behavioral children in our tribal school have completely flourished in the language, and their entire demeanor changes when we play a game of Simon Says and they get to lead the class in different commands. So things like that, it's really amazing to watch, and we try to emphasize again the importance of our entire community speaking that so our children and people can benefit from that.
All right, thank you, Amber. And folks, our phone lines are open today, too. If you just tuned in, we are taking a look at language, especially when it comes to learning language. If you'd like to add anything to the conversation, celebrations on how you have been able to pick it up, or maybe even challenges that you're facing. If you have any questions for our guests, you can call in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go ahead and take our first call. We have Mike in Buffalo Springs, New Mexico, tuning in today. Mike, thank you for your call. And what would you like to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm a Hopi Tewa, born for the Navajo Salt Clan. And I just wanted to say that assimilation from after the end of the Indian Wars in 1870 on up to BIA and stuff has really had a deterrent on preserving and carrying on our language. And recently, the Navajo Nation itself, the people themselves, put down their own language by a vote concerning an election, which hinders and kind of questions why are they pushing and emphasizing so much about language when they voted it out themselves, and it's only for elected officials. Kind of a catch-22 effect there.
Yeah, Mike, it even kind of contradicts things. And TPZWE, Mike, taking us to this point of thinking about a time where many people were, you know, removed from their language, or were even punished for speaking their language. Why is it also important for us to really absorb why a lot of this language is missing before we can move forward? What do you think, TPZWE?
Definitely, there needs to be an acknowledgement of not only among ourselves in our communities, but outside communities and the public in general. You know, it's by no accident that our languages are in the state that they are. There was specific mandates and this was a plan in place by the federal government to silence our languages. And we all know, we all come from people that lived through those hard times. But the amazing thing about that is that our languages are still spoken, that the language still being alive is a testament to the beautiful strength that our people have and the resilience that our people have, that our languages are still spoken despite all of the things that they have went through. And definitely we need to talk about those things, and we need to, because talking and being open about those things will bring about healing, and we can heal ourselves with those conversations, and we can further that healing by sharing language and learning language. And it's definitely a nourishment to our people's spirits to have those dialogues, because that it isn't a secret. I mean, it's very true, and it's a reality of what happened to our languages, but they have survived. And I totally wholeheartedly believe they survived for the times that we are in now, to give us this nourishment that our people need to guide us to healthier and happier lives. And so I just really believe definitely the dialogue has to happen.
And TPZWE, do we do any damage, you know, when we talk about language, when we start using words like saying our language is dying, it's dead? I mean, are we doing any damage when we use those words, when we talk about the situation with our language?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially to a fluent speaker who has had their language their whole lives and saying, you know, the language is dying, well, it's almost like setting aside that person as non-existent, or that they're already dead, and that's a terrible thing to do. And definitely we have to use words like maintenance and revitalization and choose our words carefully, because again, what happened to our languages, it happened to individuals, and it happened to people, brothers and sisters and grandmothers and aunties and uncles, and those are real people with real stories and real hurts. And we definitely, you know, it would be the best thing ever to really choose our words carefully when talking about our language, because it isn't dying, and the spirit of our people is so amazing, and the spirit of our language and what it does, just when a couple words are spoken by a child, and the reaction that you see among family members and loved ones of that child. I mean, the spirit of our languages are so strong, and we do definitely need to respect that and choose our words carefully.
Thanks, TPZWI. And folks, you know, a lot of times it comes down to people like the two ladies we have on the program today who are helping people learn. And so we also want to hear when it comes to picking up the language, what is working out there in Native America? You can give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we know that learning a language can take a long time. But within the school system, finding time for native language classes can also be a challenge. We're going to go now to a piece from a documentary titled Rising Voices that takes a look at teaching Lakota language. And Brian Dodge is Northern Arapaho and Oglala Lakota, and he is a Lakota language teacher in South Dakota.
I work here at Little One School Elementary Department, and I teach Lakota, the Lakota language, to the K through 5 students. We get each student a half hour a week. On a good day, we can get in 25, 26 minutes of teaching. Sometimes it's very frustrating because I cannot take my students beyond the usual identify this or tell me what this means. The amount I'm able to transmit to my students is very minimal, and it's really not a good way to get a person fluent.
And what do you think about teaching native languages for only 30 minutes a day? Do you wish schools would devote more time to language instruction? Also, what is a good way to become a fluent speaker? Call us and share your thoughts. Our number is 1-800-996-2848 or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Amber, you know, when it comes to teaching the program, I know your program has also gone through a change in the past few years. Tell us how you used to learn Tsuut'ina and how you do it today.
Absolutely. So approximately 2 years ago, the former department was very grammar-based, and the purpose was to teach people how to pronounce the sounds and to read and to write the language. However, we were not using the language. We were not having conversations in the language. Most days we could even go the whole day without even speaking Lakota because we were doing grammar work. So our council decided that they wanted to go in a different route, and they hired a Lakota language consultant. And he's been working on his PhD in linguistics. And he's like, I've been teaching the Lakota language for 20 years, but I didn't produce any speakers. So at the time that he started working for our program, we're in the process of revitalizing language and using it versus teaching it. So the audio clip that we just heard from that documentary was what we were doing before. We got 30 minutes with classrooms at our tribal school once a week, and it was, what is this? This is an animal. They can say a few animal names. They can count to 10, but that wasn't revitalizing language, and nobody was using it outside of the classroom. So now what we do is we converse in Lakota for sometimes up to about 2 hours. We ask each other about our day and what we did this weekend and where we went and what we ate. Another component that is very different is we've all established language nests in our home, which is an area in your home that you choose not to speak English in. It's not allowed in that particular room. So for me, I chose my bathroom. So if I'm in my bathroom, my entire bathroom is labeled and I self-narrate. You know, I'm picking up the soap, I'm turning on the water, I'm washing my hands, I grab the towel, I dry my hands. So self-narration allows you to speak your language without relying on another person either. Sometimes we don't have another person to speak to at the moment, but it still doesn't stop you from speaking your language. For me, I have two small boys, and so if I'm in the bathroom and they're talking to me, I have to speak Lakota back to them. Or if they are in the bathroom, they have to speak Lakota as well. So that's kind of what the language nest is about. It's just reclaiming another area of your life for your language and not allowing English to contaminate that.
And Amber, how do you think that's changed things for your children, of really having this space where they know you got to speak the language there?
It's amazing. I just expanded my language nest into my kitchen just recently. So the entire kitchen is labeled, and my 9-year-old son and I make him make his lunch. So if he wants to make a sandwich, I self-narrate it for him. And so he can completely understand me. He's not at the point where he can self-narrate himself. But if I say, "Och chef tuolti sefilali, chefa quoted chefti bayat yefti manis yefti siplal, budgetef chef tuolti quaid talisirali." So if I tell him, "Go to the refrigerator, grab your meat, your sandwich, or your meat, your bread, your mayonnaise, and put it on the counter," and then we continue from there. Then I say, "Okay, go grab your plate, cut the bread in half." So we go through the whole thing, and he really enjoys that now. "Well, Mom, I can't make a sandwich unless you're telling me how to do it in the shoot seat." So we're at the point where we're doing that. And I also have a 2-year-old son who points to all the signs in the kitchen, and then I just read whatever the word is that he's pointing to at the moment. And right now it's very exciting because he's speaking back in Lashutzi now. He probably says about 10 words. He completely can navigate through the kitchen. If I tell him, go put that in the garbage, he goes straight to the garbage and opens it. So it's just very exciting, and it's very visible in our house, which makes it easier to speak Lashutzi.
Wow, that is great to hear, Amber. And, you know, you do have to celebrate the progression of this. You know, if your child can pick up one word, I think that's a celebration, too. And then hearing more about taking this approach of language nest. Folks, what do you think about that? Reserving a space, even in your own home, where you are encouraging the language to be spoken, maybe even just learned. How do you think this concept might work in your own household? What tools would you need to make it work? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And what happens when we do reserve, I guess, kind of a safe space where we know the language is going to be learned? What do you think about that? How does it line up with tradition? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. That's just one idea on how people are learning the language out there in our native nations. With us today, we have two ladies who are helping people in their community and, as you just heard, even in their own household, pick up the language. When it comes to learning your tribe's language, what kind of obstacles are there and what are people doing to overcome them? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we know that many of our tribal stations, you turn them on and you do hear the language. Have any of your radio stations ever helped you to pick up your language? You can call in and talk about that too. 1-800-996-2848. This is Native America Calling. We want to hear from you. Visit us online too. Send us a tweet. We're ready for your thoughts on keeping our languages alive and strong. The construction of dams is a contentious issue for some Native communities. Dams can provide energy and water storage, but some are questioning if the value that dams provide outweigh the damage to the environment. Should we take a second look at dams in Native America? That's our discussion on the next Native America Calling. Hey, hey, ya, hey, hey, ya, oh, 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 hey, hey, ya, oh, 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 hey, hey, ya, oh, 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 hey, 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 hey. Oh, 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 hey, hey, ya, hey, gosh, hey, cutting lego, oh, ye, de, na, ga, go, hey, ga, dollar, bellal, gate, seek a bellal, gate,
Every year, Alaskans lose thousands of dollars to advance fee loan scams. Watch out for lenders who say you are approved for a loan, but demand that you pay upfront fees before giving you the money. You could end up paying hundreds of dollars for a loan you never receive. This message is brought to you by the Consumer Protection Unit of the Alaska Office of the Attorney General.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Shirwipu'u. And thanks for joining us today for our talk about reviving tribal languages. And you can subscribe to our show as a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podcruncher. And you can also visit our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com, to listen to past shows or give us feedback. And we want to know if your community has a program to revitalize and continue your tribe's language. Have you been learning your language? Call us and share your struggles and successes too. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. And we'd also like to hear from our fluent speakers today too. Are you the one who is teaching your language in your community? Give us a call at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Our phone lines are open for you. And with us today on the line, we have Tipizeewee Tolman, and she is from the Lakota Nest, Language Nest. And it's our pleasure to have her on the line. Also with us, we have Amber Hayward, and she is the Language Program Director for the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. Ladies, thank you for being with us. And we're going to go back to this documentary, Rising Voices, which features people who are talking about learning the language, challenges, celebrations, and many other things. Philomene Lakota is a Lakota language teacher at the Red Cloud Indian School in South Dakota, and she gets excited when she hears students speaking Lakota on their own.
There are days when we have real good days and they just start speaking Lakota on their own. And my heart swells with pride, and I said, we have hope, we have hope, I have hope, I have hope. They're doing it, and I don't want to break their momentum. But those are rare. Happy, iokipi, wiyaki iokipi, to eat. Sometimes I tell the students that they are in the biggest battle of their life. And they look at me and wonder, what battle? And that's when I tell them that you're going to fight this battle by speaking it and learning it and using it and spreading it and teaching. Go home and teach your family. That is the biggest battle of your life. You are right now. You are right there. And if you do not do any of that, then you will have lost the battle of the Lakota language.
And again, that was Philomene Lakota off of the documentary Rising Voices. What a strong statement. Folks, if you'd like to comment on that, call us right now. 1-800-996-2848 is our number. And what do you think about viewing language revitalization as the biggest battle of your life? Have you taken on that battle? Again, our number, 1-800-996-2848. And Tipizeewee, I'd like to get your comments on what we just heard from Philomene.
Yeah, you know, I just, first thing I think is that Red Cloud and Pine Ridge communities are so fortunate to have her. And I know that the language is really strong in some of their communities. And that's not the case for Standing Rock, where I'm from. And so I really think that just the awareness that where your language actually stands and is really helpful for people to kind of be a catalyst for if they choose to learn or not.
And you know what really moved me hearing that piece is the perspective that she puts it in of, you know, this is something you're going to have to face. I mean, she almost gives you comfort in the fact that it isn't easy to pick up a language. Amber, do you have any comments?
She was pretty much right on in the audio clip there. You have to make that choice to speak it. You have to make the choice to share it with your family because all of those components help language to revitalize.
So making that choice and identifying the reasons maybe why we don't speak it anymore, identifying that and saying, okay, this is a battle that I have to take on. People use language warriors. That kind of sounds like what she was summing up there. And just take charge of your language. And it's hard. It's uncomfortable. Some people might not be receptive to it, even your own people. You just have to push through that and make the choice not to speak English anymore.
All right. Thanks for that, folks. And again, if you'd like to add your comments, please do call in 1-800-996-2848. And TPZWE, the Lakota Language Nest, has been open since 2012. Please do tell us a little bit about using immersion to learn Lakota.
So the Language Nest is actually the primary place where Lakota language is happening. We had a planning grant before the opening of the nest, and we assessed our communities. We went door to door, gauging the health of our communities. And what we found then was that there was no natural occurring immersion Lakota or Dakota environments in the home anymore. And so where we are at Standing Rock is, do we choose to let that happen, that gradual fading away of those language-rich environments and spaces, or do we create, do we take that on, the work, the hard work that it is to create environments where language immersion is happening, Lakota language and Dakota language immersion is happening. And we chose to work together and work towards the vision of recreating environments where our language is nourishing our people and our children. And definitely immersion is the primary way for people to learn language. And definitely if you have that opportunity, it's an amazing learning opportunity to be in. But not everyone has access to those spaces. And so this is really a fortunate place to be in and be a witness and see the revitalization of the Lakota language on Standing Rock through the children of the Lakota Language Nest.
And our program reaches listeners in the audience, the KLND area. And folks, if you're listening today and you have a child in the Lakota Language Nest, give us a call and share your experience. 1-800-996-2848. And TPC, we tell us a little bit about a typical day at the Lakota Language Nest.
Every day the kids arrive at 8. Our program is run 4 days a week. We start at 8 a.m. and we go all the way until 4:30 p.m. And all those hours are clocked in nothing but Lakota. We have signs outside of our door. We're asking respectfully that English stops at the door. And we begin every day with a prayer song, and we smudge with our traditional medicines, and we begin with a prayer song and then a prayer. And definitely cultural immersion is happening in the nest. We infuse all of the different preschool activities that you would find anywhere else in America, but we infuse it with our culture, and we do it in our language. And so anytime between meals, we have prayer times, but they also have free choice time. They have teacher-led activities, and we have a family-style lunch where we all eat together. And again, we pray before our meals, and the younger children have nap time. And everything is done in the language, infused with our culture, and it's just a really amazing place. And I really encourage anyone and everyone from any other immersion programs, or if you're thinking about starting immersion programs in your community, please know that you're welcome to come to the Lakota Language Nest, because that's how we learned what we do, is by visiting places that had already established spaces where their languages were nourishing their children in their communities. And so I definitely want to extend that welcome to anyone that is looking towards any kind of guidance. And we can share our journey as much as possible with anyone who's willing.
And there have been people who've even gone as far as, you know, New Zealand to learn how people are doing this. A lot of people applaud the work that's going on there, as well as in Hawaii. And it's exciting to hear that learning from other communities and how they've been able to revitalize language is something that people are thinking about. Folks, you can join the conversation too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to dial. And maybe you have a child or grandchild attending one of these immersion schools or a tribal language program. What do you think is really reaching students so that they are speaking the language? 1-800-996-2848 is the number to reach us. And TPC, when you think of the student body and coming into this kind of environment, is it ever difficult for students who don't know any Lakota to be put in this kind of environment?
Definitely, especially at the beginning of the year, is always a huge reminder as far as how far we've come with previous cohorts, because when we start again with children that haven't been in our language nest or in the reality of our deterioration of where we are at with our language at Standing Rock, is that none of our children have Lakota language speaking homes, and so they come with, you know, zero exposure to the language, and it's pretty tough work, but it's really amazing what children are capable of. And I just really encourage all tribal communities to do their best to focus on that preschool age where the kids are just soaking up the language, because that is where language acquisition is just happening. That's what their brains are primed for, and it's really amazing to witness how fast the child picks up the language. And it's so awesome, and I absolutely love my job.
All right. Thank you, TPZWI. And folks, join us in this conversation on language. Maybe you have a really great tool for making sure that either young or old are picking up the language that was given to us. Give us a call, 1-800, and share your thoughts and tools. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. Let's hear more from Native America. We have callers on the line. Let's say hello to Marion in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on KUNM Radio. Marion, thank you for your call, and you're on air.
Hi, I love your program. I try to listen every day because it's educational, and I learn so much about my American Indian community, and I love being Native American. And I don't know my language very well. I have the accent, and I can make the words, and I can repeat the words in my tribe, but I don't know all of it, and not too many people speak it to me, even if we have a lot of tribal members in Albuquerque. But you know what? I learned quite a bit of Lakota language from Dances with Wolves, and that sounds funny, but it's true, and I know a lot of people that learned quite a bit because they had the language spoken, they had it translated in English underneath the subtitles, and if you watch that movie over and over again, then you pick up your language, so maybe that's the way to go. And it's such an enjoyable movie, a wonderful movie, and they had great Indian movie stars, and it was just great. And so I was just wanting to give that suggestion.
All right. Thank you for your call, Marion. And it's interesting, you know, the different tools that are out there for us to pick up languages, even languages that aren't even our own. And Marion, as you were saying that, it also reminded me of the Navajo dub of Star Wars. And who knows, maybe years from now, somebody's going to know how to speak Navajo because they watched that film. Again, folks, what kind of tools are working? What is out there to help people? What about when people are at a distance? I know some people have turned to the internet and chat rooms or either different tools to help people who are away from home pick up the language. If you have any insight on that, call us right now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Marion, again, thank you for your call. And folks, we want to hear from you. There is still time left in the hour to share your thoughts. Give us a ring or send us a tweet at 99 Native. And the Puyallup Tribal Language Program is approaching learning through many ways. We have a tribal member on the line with us, and they're giving us more insight. They're doing many things, including making videos that appeal to kids. And here's part of a video game translated into Lushootse.
Busk. Ooh, Gway Duck. Busk. Sally Busk. Gway Duck.
Now, can you imagine playing a game hearing that? Would it help you pick it up faster? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. All you video game lovers, you know what game that was. Again, call us, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And the program, they're also approaching language in other areas of the classroom. Here's part of a math lesson in Lushootse.
Okay, first thing we got to do, move the decimal over. We.
Da-do.
One more time. We.
Da-do.
Hey. Dacho, we on the right side.
Dacho.
Go ahead and put your decimal. Now we can divide. Salat into Sali. We. Ak.
Hey.
Amber, we heard a couple of tools that are being utilized, and I'm sure the video game also struck an accord with people. It's exciting to see all of these different ways to make sure that the language is coming into young people's lives in different ways. Is there anything you want to add about some of the tools that we've highlighted today?
Sure. The Puyallup Tribe, we are actually right in the middle of an urban city. So we have a lot of outside influences, and a lot of our children, just like other children across the United States, are on all sort of social media. But especially for us, we try to relate to them and our children and our community and the age group that we're interested in targeting. Our office is comprised of 20-some-year-olds and 30-some-year-olds, so we have a very young office. So the stuff that we produce draws in that age group from about 18 to 40 years old. And so we're trying to cater to our large group that is showing interest. So last year we started a Lushootse Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube account, even just opened up a Vine account, which a lot of the kids are on, just little short clips of videos. So what we've done is we've tried to make our language popular and accessible, and we're doing that through the use of social media and videos and different audio as well. We're just trying to give people what they want at this time. And we try to use children that are in our community or in our tribal school because they want to see themselves on TV and they watch it over and over. We also try to incorporate translating in the video. So in our videos, we say to a shoot feed, and then the line right after is always in English, because for children, they run around now saying, stop, quad dohoy, and that means, what are you doing? Because the kids pick things up from an auditory learning, so they hear it, they don't necessarily are able to read it, but it's working in our community right now. We're able to reach tribal members that are not in our community. They're in different states, or they're not able to make it down to our department, or they don't go to our tribal school, so they want access to this. So we're trying to produce as much material that we can to service our community, whether they're living in our state or not.
And I think it's exciting, too, when you go on social media and you see some of these. A lot of people do word of the day or teach a phrase, and they're using social media to share. And it really starts great conversations and helps people, you know, even if it's about picking up one word a day. Thanks for that, Amber. And folks, we want to hear from you, too. If you just tuned in, you've reached Native America Calling. And every weekday, we open up our phone lines, bring on great guests to talk about things that are connected to our communities. And today, we're talking about language. Join the conversation. What works when it comes to teaching Native language? 1-800-996-2848 is our number. Let's say hello to Robert here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Robert, what would you like to share?
I'd like to share the idea that I've read that $2 is spent per child to teach Indian language. $2,000 is spent per student to teach English language. I think that we should also look at the teaching skills that are provided at the American universities who train teachers. These teachers are taught in the Euro-American Germanic kind of language methodology, that kind of cognitive development that they have brought and instilled in our teachers. So we should do that. I think more work should be done in encouraging Congress people to spend more money on Indian language. I haven't seen any fluent speaker who is a product of these language nests or Head Start schools. I think language instruction should develop all the way to community college levels so that we can have some really advanced academic language speakers in the Indian language.
Yeah, and we know, Robert, that would do a lot of great things for our communities. TPZWE, Robert has a lot of great concerns about, you know, teachers, who's teaching this, how they're being trained, how they're thinking about teaching the language, as well as, you know, where's the support and funding for all of this. TPZWE, do you have any thoughts for our caller, Robert?
Yeah, those are great points, and we definitely do need to have those kind of visions, but also the willingness to really work towards those, strategize and identify community members or children who have just this sense of pride and love in learning their language and really focus on those children and really grow teachers and lovers of the language and advocates. Who are going to take our languages to that next level, because definitely there's so much challenges, and he touched on a number of them, and those challenges, we need to face them head on. And so definitely there needs to be a lot of that strategizing and figuring out those challenges and working our way through them, because they're very real in this, in the revitalization of our languages. And we definitely want to have those make it towards that time when we do have people, and that, you know, and it would be amazing to have Indigenous Language Institute where we have those people skilled in academics in multiple Indigenous languages of our lands. I mean, that would be amazing. And so, yeah, definitely those are critical issues that we have in the revitalization field, but definitely we are working towards working out, hashing out some of those issues already.
All right, thanks for that. Let's take another caller. Let's say hi to Charles in Fort Hall, Idaho, listening on KISU Radio. Charles, thank you for your call, and go ahead, you're on air.
Appreciate you, Davino. Tara, yeah, good morning, Tara. Yeah, with the Spearhead Films, we made a video language disc from, you know, from the Bannock and Shoshone. The Bannock is like people along the banks of the Snake River. So our language is kind of like Rosetta Stone. It goes into four segments, kind of educational, you know, and we don't sell it. We, you know, give it to certain, you know, tribal members, because mostly the dominated language here is Shoshone. The Bannocks are kind of like we were here, you know, but, you know, we were originally POWs because of the Bannock War. So the Shoshones, they seem to have been more accepted. So we just kind of lost out. But, you know, we could, you know, make another videotape or, you know, make another disc for later on purposes, because my mother's getting pretty old now. She's about in her early 80s, and she's the only last fluent speaker. But we're videotaping her and getting the translations and the plants and the stories and the legends and everything like that.
And Charles, you are definitely going to a great resource for that. And Amber, I want to turn to you in thinking about, you know, the resources that we do have, much like Charles, you know, turning to his own family. Anything you want to share about making sure that we are learning these languages from these great resources that we have, you know, these fluent speakers, these elders? Anything, Amber?
Absolutely. It is amazing that he has his mother who's still there, who is a fluent speaker. Unfortunately for our tribe, we don't have any first language speakers alive right now. We have heritage speakers that grew up hearing Lashutti in their home, but they're not fluent speakers themselves. So to have an actual fluent first language speaker available and alive is just an amazing, amazing gift. That I wish, and I really hope people understand how important that gift is, to go spend time with those elders, record them if they will allow you to, just let them talk, let them tell you what they want to say. And I know a lot of people like to probe and say, how do you say this, how do you say that, but just let them talk and let them get across what they want. They want to pass down to future generations. Is an incredibly amazing opportunity for people.
All right. Again, Charles, thank you for your call. And we are at the end of the hour. Amber, any words you want to leave us today in your Lashutsi language?
Absolutely. I would just love for people to make that choice not to speak English and reclaim their language for their lives. Use it in your home, speak it to your children and your community.
All right. Thank you for that, Amber. And also thanks to TPZWI Tolman for also joining us here on the hour. And of course, thanks to everybody who called in today. And folks, if there's more you still want to say, send us an email, comments@NativeAmericaCalling.com. Tomorrow, we're back with a show about dams. And do you have a dam in your community that needs to be removed? Or are you benefiting from it in your area? Post your thoughts on our website too, NativeAmericaCalling.com. Art Hughes is our executive producer. Monica Brain is our senior producer. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy, and Stephen Emmons is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the producer and anchor of National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. We are looking forward to connecting with you again tomorrow.
This program supported by the Peace Corps, the government agency sending thousands of volunteers to live and work alongside people in more than 60 countries worldwide. The Peace Corps will allow you to share your unique cultural heritage and promote world peace and friendship. We have rewarding work opportunities around the world in education, health, agriculture, environment, and business. It will change your life and the lives of others. More information available at peacecorps.gov. That's peacecorps.gov. Skuktash. Support by Ramona Farms. Happy to share our traditional heirloom food products. Wonderful additions to your family meals. For more than 40 years, Ramona Farms has revived ancient traditional foods. Tepary beans, pinole, traditional wheat flours, corn meals, polentas, and much more delivered to your door from RamonaFarms.com. Christmas delivery available on orders placed at store.RamonaFarms.com by December 15th. Tom Nye.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.